The Linux Night Tech Show is on. Your link to GNU Linux and the latest technology. 2 hours of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter. Free software, free speech, open technology, and open mic.
I love it.
Now, live from the Linux Link Tech Show studios, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up and take it away.
Alrighty then.
Yeah.
Episode 158, right?
That's it.
You just cut it off.
Yeah, I can't do the fade out. I wanted to, for some reason, the Beat Media Player can volume controls don't work with this setup here. I gotta do the master. Master control the fade out, and I don't know. It's all a fluster now because of Alan and not being able to get on Skype again. Thanks, Alan.
They're awfully quiet over there.
Yeah, I'm getting on Asterisk.
No, I can't get on Asterisk.
Yeah, and the Asterisk. All right, so Pat, you before we pull in our wonderful guest tonight, what do we have coming up right now?
We've actually gotten heard about it.
How bad is the lag now?
It's a little.
A little bit.
But let's.
We're gonna talk about. We're gonna play something here, ladies and gentlemen. We have a real sponsor. We have a company called Open Country.
Apparently the lag is quite a bit.
We have a company called Open Country who are being our first real sponsor. So what this means is every show we're going to play a little, you know, Linux Link Tech Shows presented by Clip, and that's basically it. They're helping us out pay for some of the bandwidth, and we really appreciate it, and we look forward to a really good relationship with them. So Dan, play it away, and let's give it a listen.
The Linux Link Tech Show is proudly sponsored by Open Country, providers of OCM, award-winning systems management software for the Linux Enterprise, and exclusive sponsors of the Webmin Project.
All right, Link, excellent promo, man. Good job on that.
Maybe we should play it twice because it's so damn fast.
Yeah, it is fast, isn't it?
Yay.
Let's play it one more time.
They get two bangs.
Give them their money
first. Proudly sponsored by Open Country, providers of OCM, award-winning systems management software for the Linux Enterprise, and exclusive sponsors of the Webmin Project.
We've sold out finally.
Well, it's not like we're being rich here. You know, we appreciate what they're giving us. It's very cool.
What are they giving us?
Well, I'm not going to say it over the air.
Okay, because it's a mystery to me.
They're helping us out with some of our bills every month, which is right. Cool.
They're not giving us anything. They're sending Pat money.
Yeah, I'm pocketing it all. So they're a really cool company. They're based out in California. They're actually the main sponsors of Webmin, which is a great project, and we've talked to the guy who develops for them. So we're really happy, you know.
Awesome. And speaking of great projects, we have a guest who is involved in a wonderful project.
Yeah, we got Joe Brockmeyer, you know, who's part of the Ohio Linux Fest. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much.
Joe, we've talked to you before, you know. You work over at Linux.com. What's your involvement with the Ohio Linux Fest?
Well, basically, I went last year to the Ohio Linux Fest to cover it for Linux.com and NewsForge. And I was so impressed with the show that I wanted to be involved as much as I could with putting it on this year. So basically, I asked if they could use some help with promoting the show, and so that's what I've been working on mostly. I was also on the speaking committee, but mostly involved with trying to get the word out about the Ohio Linux Fest this year and making sure that the attendance goes up from last year.
Now, how long has the Ohio Linux Fest been going on? How many years now?
This is the fourth year. I think it's the third year in the Greater Columbus Convention Center. But it's been going on, so this will be the fourth year. And every year they've grown, you know, almost exponentially. We had about 700 more than 700 people at the show last year, and the year before they said there were about 350. So.
So it sounds like it's a real community-driven, you know, get-together. You know, we're really looking forward to going. This is going to be our first time out in Columbus. We're going to have a booth over at the little, you know, the little .org section, and we're really looking forward to it. We know quite a few people in Ohio, in the Columbus area, and we're really looking, you know, to having a really, you know, good time talking to everybody, you know, meeting some new people, checking out some of the talks. The list of talks seems really interesting this year.
We have some really excellent talks. I mean, the talks last year were great, but this year we have some really big names. Jeff Law is going to give the opening keynote, and he's going to be talking about Ubuntu and GNOME and promoting projects like that. We've got a panel on virtualization. Chris DeBona from Google and is coming out. He's going to be talking about Google's open source projects. The Reverend Ted Hager, fellow podcaster, is going to be doing a talk on desktop innovation at Novell. Michael K. Johnson, one of the original Red Hatters, now with RPath, is coming out to talk about RBuilder and Connery. We've got John Mad Dog Hall, and if you've never seen John speak, I strongly suggest that you go, because I've seen him talk a couple of times. And he's always an excellent speaker. So, I mean, we've just got just a huge lineup of people coming to speak this year.
Now, for people coming to the conference, what is the cost to get in? And what is the cost to get in to listen
totally
to the speakers? Oh, it's totally free.
Totally free to come in. Until tomorrow, we have a what we're calling an all-conference pass available. Which is $65. You don't have to pay that to get in the door to see the speakers or anything else. But last year and the year before, they had so many people asking, how can we support the project? How can we, you know, help make sure that this happens next year? That basically we finally instituted a paid registration for people who want to support the Ohio Linux Fest. And for that, people will get a T-shirt, lunch, and a couple other things. A couple of free drink tickets, if I remember correctly, for the after party. So basically, you know, you can pay a little bit if you want to get in the door, which you know, I was talking to George Castro today about OSCON, and I've gone to cover OSCON, but I've never actually checked out what it would cost to get in the door. You know, to attend something like that is in the thousands of dollars. So obviously this is a shorter show than OSCON, but you know, getting in the door for free is a pretty good deal. So
that's a great deal.
Yeah, fantastic deal. Now, how does Linux Fest compare to something like Linux World Expo? From not from the perspective of the person coming in off the street, and I trust you've been to a Linux World Expo, yes?
I've been to several.
Okay,
I've been to. Yeah, quite. I've been to most of the major shows at least.
Joe came around to the booth when you guys were off doing something else, and I
drinking
probably. And I sat there and I talked to him for quite a bit.
Oh, so how does a Linux World Expo compare to a Linux Fest in Ohio? I mean, are there any differences? Are they really similar to one another?
They're really very different. The Linux World shows are fine for a certain audience, but they're mostly aimed at a very high-end corporate user. They're mainly a big show to try to showcase larger companies like Oracle, who have gotten into open source, and IBM, and to give them a chance to meet with sales prospects. And now we have folks who are attending the show and putting on exhibits like Novell, who obviously want to talk to potential customers, but it's a much more community feel. This show is primarily aimed at users, and we want to educate and build community. That is the main goal, and everybody who's supporting the show, that's the main goal, not necessarily sales prospects. So, I mean, it's really one of the things you'll hear about if you talk about shows like Lisa, that's put on by Usenix, or OSCON, is the hallway track. And basically what that means is, you know, one of the big benefits to going to the show is the opportunity to talk to other people and other folks that you can learn from, not just the speakers and not just the exhibitors. And Ohio Linux Fest is huge for the hallway track because almost everybody there is either very, very enthused about Linux, well, is very experienced with Linux, or is just really enthused and wants to learn about Linux. It's like a huge lug meeting almost. In fact, I believe that's how it started out, was mainly as a way for Ohio lugs to get together. And it just kind of grew from that. Now, last year we drew people from Canada. So, I mean, it's definitely grown.
Sounds like it. I mean, you got a lot of people from the neighboring states like Indiana, Pennsylvania, Michigan, you know, people.
Yeah.
And then it sounds like you also got a lot of people flying in. You know? You got Krista Bonner coming in from California, and you got Jeff Wall coming in from Australia. Sounds like it's really becoming a big event now.
Yeah, and it's I don't think it's going to lose its community feel. That's one of the things that really interests me about the show. When I was first getting into the Linux business community, I went to a couple of Atlanta Linux showcases, and those were just wonderful for the opportunity to talk to other geeks and, you know, very, very low-key marketing feel to it. I mean, if you go to something like Linux World, it's all about the marketing. And Ohio Linux Fest is like Atlanta Linux Showcase used to be. It's all about the community.
That sounds great. That was all one of my gripes with Linux World Expo. It always seemed very corporate. I mean, yeah, you could go to the .org booth and talk to some of the people from the different projects, but it seemed like a lot of the people who walk around, it seemed like there were two main types of people in Linux World Expo. You had the corporate types, you know, who are actually conducting business, and then you had, like, you know, the person just walking around looking to get a free T-shirt or something. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, Ohio Linux Fest is probably the real hardcore Linux people that use it every day.
Yeah, there are a lot of folks. One of the things that disappoints me about major shows is they overlook the Midwest. But there's a lot of folks that are using Linux in business in the Midwest. I had an opportunity to talk to a couple people who work for large banks near Ohio, you know, near Columbus, who are using Linux extensively alongside commercial Unix. And it's, to me, it's very interesting to talk to the folks who are using it, you know, every day, as opposed to maybe the people who get paid to go around speaking about it or marketing it. You know, I think it's more interesting to talk to the folks who really have hands-on experience every day.
So it's real hardcore. I mean, there's going to be people who live and breathe Linux every day, pretty much.
Yeah. But there is also a huge focus for new users to Linux. I wouldn't want to scare anybody off because we really do want to bring in, you know, if you're in or around Columbus, you know, like we're really trying to reach the universities around there. You know, if you're just now hearing about this Linux thing and you, you know, want to find out more and you want to find out from people who are friendly and who are going to be easy to talk to and be happy to answer questions, this is a great place to do it. Because the people who are attending the show are very enthused and want to share what they know about Linux.
Now, so some of the things going on, I see that the Linux certification people are going to be there.
On Friday, the Linux Professional Institute is going to be giving an exam. That starts, the check-in is at 8:30, and the lab runs from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. And if you have never taken an LPI certification, you probably will need at least an hour or two to complete the exams, unless you just really know everything cold.
I don't know. Dan, you got your first you got your first level certification, right, Dan?
It's SAIR.
SAIR you got.
LPI wasn't really, you know, that far off when I got mine.
That seems to be the big one now, LPI.
Yeah. Did you take the LPI, Joe?
I've taken level one cert, 101 and 102. I'm tossing around the idea of taking the Ubuntu certification Friday morning. But I haven't had chance. I haven't really had a chance to see what the requirements are on it. And I don't want to spend the money if I'm going to. The LPI exams, I think they're a good test of what you know, but they're also a little weird in what they ask. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
They tend to cover some odd areas. So I don't want to take the test and find out because I don't have the file, you know, the directory structure memorized that I wouldn't pass or something like that.
Yeah, we have a
but
we have a member of our LUG who's involved with the LPI, and he does some they've done some training for our LUG and classes and stuff that they've set up and done some testing.
Didn't he run the track at the Linux World Expo in Boston, Faber?
He I don't know if he did, but he might have been involved.
He was involved with that, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's a good certification. I've looked at some other ones, or at least the test materials for some other ones, like the A+, I think it is.
Uh-huh.
And it seemed like some of the questions really had very little to do with Linux. So.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously.
A+ isn't really
geared
towards anything but Windows and DOS, isn't it, and hardware.
Well, that's what I, the test materials I looked over for the A+, even though it was supposed to be a Linux certification that had a lot of hardware, odd, like SCSI questions and things like that, that you maybe would want to know if you're an admin, but really aren't Linux specific. So. But I was just going to say, too, that the LPI exams are a lot, you know, they're very inexpensive compared to, like, the Red Hat and Novell exams.
Yeah, you got to mortgage your house to do Red
Hat's
Hat
very
exam.
Expensive, man. Very expensive. Now, I think, is Red Hat coming to this?
Red Hat is signed up as an exhibitor. I don't think we're entirely clear on who they're sending for their booth, but I believe they're going to be there.
Because
I think there's a Red Hat and a Fedora booth.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be the Fedora Core guys.
Yeah. Which would mean then that we have more Red Hat representation at Ohio Linux Fest than they had at Linux World.
Yeah, that was kind of odd, wasn't it?
You know, Red Hat's got their own thing going now in Nashville. They kind of gave a blanket statement to everybody in the press that asked, you know, why didn't you turn up? And it was basically, well, we just have better ways to spend our money than going to Linux World.
It's got to be pretty expensive for a company to set up a real big display.
And those, I mean, it's.
Red Hat has been one of the biggest display companies, you know.
I don't have hard figures, but I'm guessing it's in the six figures.
Wow.
When I worked with Linux Mall and we went to the trade shows, it was easily five figures to send, like, say, six or seven people to man a booth. And you get, if you're in a union town, you get charged drayage on the order of a couple $1,000 just to move your stuff from the loading dock to your booth. For some guy to pick it up on a forklift and move it over.
Yeah, God bless the unions.
Yeah, it's very expensive.
Now, I heard you say...
Well, you know, I think I'm just going to go around that topic.
You don't have to say anything about that. That's my opinion.
What was that now?
That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I heard you say that LPI is going to be running a track on Friday.
That's cool.
What days is Linux Fest going to be occurring on?
The actual Linux Fest is Saturday the 30th, and it runs from The doors open at 8 a.m. for people to come in and register or get, not register, but actually get their badge and everything. And the actual program starts at 9 a.m. Friday, we have basically Linux Fest activities going on, but they're not officially necessarily part of it. The LPI stuff going on. We have a volunteer and organizers meeting from noon to 4. So anybody who wants to help out, we'd be glad to have you. And that'll be at the Holiday Inn Ballroom where we're meeting to get all the volunteers. And then at 7 o'clock that evening, basically, we're going to have a meet-and-greet pizza party for everybody who's there early. Because a lot of folks who are coming from out of town are going to get there Friday night, get checked in. And so we're going to have kind of a meet-and-greet for speakers and people who are there so that everybody can just informally, you know, sit around and talk and get to meet each other. And then the actual Linux Fest kicks off on Saturday morning. And the schedule for Saturday, talks and everything run up until about 8 o'clock. And then we have the after party, which is hosted by Nauticon, the guys who put on Nauticon. And I went to that last year, and it was a really good time. So I hope that all the folks who are showing up for Linux Fest will stay for the after party. Did I mention, by the way, we have penguins on the agenda?
Live penguins?
Live penguins. We have penguins from the Columbus Zoo. Going to be before the final keynote from 6:15 to 6:30. They're going to be there with the penguin handlers, and they're going to talk about the birds and everything. And there will be no penguin petting, but, you know, you'll get to see live penguins and learn about them from the Columbus Zoo.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome.
I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Now, what's the age that people can come in?
I'm sorry?
Is there an age limit of the people that can come into the convention?
I don't believe we have an age limit set. Basically, you know, I would imagine if you're a parent and you want to bring a couple kids, I don't think the Linux Fest would be a good time for, you know, kids that are too young, but probably kids that are 10 and older. If they're interested in computers and so forth, I think they'd have a good time.
Yeah, we had some listener, at least one listener, who went to the Linux World Expo in Boston.
And he was underage.
Yeah, they wouldn't let him in because he wasn't over, 18, was it? Or is it 21?
I think it was
right.
18, yeah. I think.
So they wouldn't let him in because he was under 18. He was like 16, I think.
18, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's an all ages.
I believe one of the shows, I don't remember which, there was actually a speaker that had a hard time. Yeah.
Because he was underage?
Yeah, because there are a lot of folks that are involved in open source and some pretty talented programmers who are under 18, you know. Not quite that young, but at Linux World in Boston, I sat down with Jamie Sharp, who is a ex-programmer who's really, you know, doing some interesting stuff with X, and he wasn't even born when X started, you know. So starting to make me feel a little bit old, but that's all right.
Well, Grandpa Allen's that. I think
come on, I'm not that old.
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
Now, one of the things I noticed is you guys have set up a website besides the regular convention website. There's also a blog, and it looks like you guys also set up a Drupal site where people can go on and, you know, maybe talk to other people about having, you know, bobsprits of a feather sessions, Maybe sharing a ride to the convention, possibly sharing a hotel room, you know, different get-togethers.
Right. Yeah, we have, so we have OhioLinux.org, which is the main site where you can get all the information that you need about the conference. And then we have OhioLinux.org/blog. We have the blog talking about basically just announcements and things. The penguin.ohiolinux.org is where we have the Drupal installation with the forums and so forth. Yeah, there's a forum for ride sharing if you're in or around Columbus but maybe have some trouble with transportation, or, you know, you've got a big car and you're planning on driving down alone, please sign up at the ride sharing site, because there are a couple people. There's one individual who's been poking into the chat IRC Ohio Linux on OFTC.net, has been poking in every day wondering if anybody's going to help him get a ride from Pennsylvania, I believe. So
I would imagine there's going to be a lot of people coming from, like, the Pittsburgh area, right? Western PA?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's this guy?
We've got a couple. I think one of the organizers is from Pittsburgh. So.
Yeah, Beth Lynn?
Yeah.
Where's this guy live in Pennsylvania?
I'm not entirely sure. I don't think quite in Pittsburgh, though. I'm coming from Denver, so I'm kind of limited on being able to give anybody a ride. So.
You mean you can't swing around to Pennsylvania on your way from Denver?
Yeah, you know, they're awful picky about carry-ons these days.
So
I'm hoping I can have liquid on the flight.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
And don't bring your Apple laptop. There's some flights
that's not a problem.
Ban those. Yeah. And Dell's too. Now, do you live in Denver?
Yeah. You can have them, you just can't bring the batteries with you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you live in Denver,
yeah, I live.
I'm sorry. Uh-huh. How are you associated with the Ohio Linux Fest?
I just went last year and asked if I could help out, you know, helping with promotion. Because, you know, last year I had only heard about it basically from Robin Miller, you know, when he asked, hey, would you like to go cover this? And I hadn't heard about the Ohio Linux Fest before. They've done a really good job spreading the word in the Columbus area, and so I kind of wanted to spread the word a little farther. So I've been kind of reaching out to a lot of other folks in the Linux media, asking them to write about it and, you know, make sure that everybody has a chance to hear about it and go if they can. Because it's too good a show to pass up if you can make it.
Now, some of the a little more of behind the scenes with the Linux Fest in Ohio. How much lug affiliation is involved with the Linux Fest, with the local or with the Ohio lugs? Is there any affiliation at all?
I believe there is. I have to admit, I was hoping Greg would be on to talk more about that because I'm a little sketchy on that, on which lugs are specifically involved. Because honestly, I don't know a lot about the Ohio lugs. I've only really worked directly with the other folks who are members of the lugs. And that would be Greg, who's been handling sponsorships, Beth Lynn, who has been doing just everything this year. She's been a real hero getting everything organized this year. And Mike Meffey and Richard Zach. Have been helping to organize. Richard, who headed the speaking committee, and Mike, who's been kind of heading the whole thing. You know, they've all just been my main points of contact.
So why Ohio? Why Columbus, Ohio for Linux Fest? I mean, it. I don't know. Maybe it's me, but I wouldn't think of Columbus as being a hotbed of Linux activity. And maybe it's because I'm just too far away. But why Ohio?
You know, any large city, I think you'd be surprised just how much Linux there is. But I think Columbus was mainly because basically a lot of lugs are close to there, and it's a good central location where they have, you know, a nice facility to have the event at.
Okay.
Works for me.
So.
So, would you say then Ohio is Linux compatible?
Yes, I would say Ohio is very Linux compatible. Are you referring to the talk that I'm giving? By the way, I'm going to have to do terrible things to Richard with a spork, because he decided to put me up against Ted Hager and Chris DeBona for my speaking slot. So I expect all of like two people.
Joe, what I proposed, I shot an email off to Ted Hager and also to Chris, is maybe you can stop by our get-together. We're having a get-together at Barley's on Friday night. Maybe you guys can do some arm wrestling, and whoever wins gets to do their presentation, and the other two guys have to, you know, sit down and watch your presentation.
I'd be happy to go to that. No, the Linux compatible talk that I'm going to do, basically I want to turn, you know, if you read a lot of Linux stories in the news, which of course I do, you see a lot of, you know, new users coming to Linux now and saying, you know, posing the question, well, is Linux ready for the desktop? And I've been using Linux on the desktop since 1999 as my primary desktop. So I think the question is really whether or not the users are compatible with Linux, as opposed to whether Linux is compatible with being a desktop operating system at this point. Linux arm wrestling.
So I would.
I've never seen Ted, so I have no idea if I could take Ted.
I think you might be able to take him.
You know, well, you could probably take them both.
Chris is a big guy, though. I think
Reverend Ted on the other.
Chris is pretty big.
And just bring them right into the center and bang their hands together right there, and their heads just bang together like in a cartoon. That would be cool. I would love to go see your talk, and unfortunately, if it's anything like Linux X World Expo was. We don't get to go anywhere when we're standing behind.
Right, we get pretty hammered.
You mean busy, or you mean you guys just plan on drinking a lot today?
Both.
Well,
both.
Busy during the day. But your talk sounds fascinating. Are they recording the talks?
I believe we're going to try to, yeah. In fact, if anybody's listening who... have some audio experience. We need a few folks to run soundboards during the day. So if you're interested helping. What's that?
We'd volunteer, but we're looking to get some interviews, too.
Yeah, you want some good sound quality, right, too, so you don't want us over there.
You know, it's kind of unfair, but we do need some folks. I hate to ask too many people to volunteer, because that means, you know, that you're not quite as free to go see the talks as you might want. But we have three ballrooms running at the same time, and what we want to do is try to basically have one person in each ballroom who will run sound. So we really do want to get, you know, get all of these sessions recorded and be able to share them with folks who either go to the show and they didn't get to see all of the talks, or they just want to hear it again, or people who just simply can't make it to Ohio Linux Fest so they can at least, you know, get a little bit of the goodness from the show.
Joe, who should the people talk to if they want to volunteer for different things?
Well, it's a good thing you mentioned it, because we have a volunteer for you already.
Great. Best thing to do right now is send an email to team@ohiolinux.org, or you can also post a topic on the forum. We'll make sure there's something up there about volunteering. Let me look. I think there's already a volunteering forum, but yep. If you go to the forums, there is a volunteers needed. And you can just sign up and go ahead and say, hey, you know, you can also send an email to skippy@ohiolinux.org.
Like the peanut butter?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, what are some of the other needs for volunteers besides soundboards?
We will need people in the morning to help with registration. Basically, all you're going to have to do to help with that is sit at the kiosk, and as folks come up, type their name in, print the badge, and make sure that they're registered. Because we really, you know, it's a free event to attend, but we really want to have an accurate head count of who's at the show. And, you know, we need that to do planning, to deal with the fire marshal and insurance and all those other things. So make sure that you're registered and make sure that, you know, you're not waiting till the day of the show, because that really kind of jams things up if you have to do all the typing right then, you know.
Now,
so I need folks for that.
I noticed that they want people to register ahead of time. Is there a cutoff where, you know, they'll say we can't fit any more people in the convention?
Well, our max is 2,000 people, but right now we're not. In past years, we've had basically about half of the people who register show up, so we're not at a point where we have 4,000 people registered yet, so we're not really worried about having more than 2,000 people at the show. But that would be our cutoff. If we get 2,000 people, that would be our cutoff. As far as time
yeah, but
goes,
this time you have the tech show there, so.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Link. Link on the lag.
I said this, but this time you have the tech show there, so you know we kind of draw our own crowd.
So expect the general admission to go down.
You know, I guess if we hit 2,000, more than 2,000, we'd have to turn folks away. But I really hope that I wouldn't mind if we hit right at 2,000, but I'd hate to turn anybody away.
Now, this year's show is at a bigger place, right, than last year?
No, it's at the
same place.
It's at the same hotel or the same center. Yeah. If it keeps growing, we may need to look for a bigger place. But right now, it still fits.
I'm really looking forward to going to Ohio, man. I think it's going to be a really fantastic time.
I'm looking forward to going. I'm not looking forward to driving out there, though.
Yeah, we got a long drive.
How far are you driving?
9.5 hours.
You know what? Nobody really knows, because some people say it's 9.5 hours. Well, some people say it's like 11, 12 hours.
Link used to live there.
Well, he doesn't know. He confused all the time.
How closely do you observe the speed limit?
Alan...
It right there.
Alan sets the cruise control at 45.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Okay.
So
you're leaving Thursday.
Thursday night, yeah.
45.
Alan's leaving Wednesday, and the rest of us will be leaving Thursday and we'll
night.
Still beat him there.
I once drove out to San Francisco for Linux World. Left Denver and made it in basically 24 hours.
Nonstop?
Basically 20 hours of driving, and I pulled over for a four-hour nap.
You're by yourself?
Yeah.
That's tough, man.
That's insane.
So I was very lucky not to get pulled over, because I'm pretty sure that would have been an interesting ticket.
Man, how fast were you going?
He's not going to say.
Why not? Like he's going to batter.
You know. I'll just share that I got very lucky one time in Nevada. Got pulled over on just before the border between Nevada and California, doing like 95 and a 70.
Yeah.
And I got off with a warning.
Yeah, that's typical out west. Like I've driven out west in states like Utah, in Nevada, in Idaho. I mean, you go for stretches of, you know, driving where you don't see anybody for like, you know, 2-3 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, the western states, I mean, you get some long, straight stretches of road. You could literally put on cruise control and take a nap. Yeah, I just happened to be doing a little too fast near a state trooper, but the guy was actually very nice about it, so I was completely stunned when he, you know, rolled the window down. He asked me if I knew how fast I was going, and I said, you know, not exactly, but I bet I could guess. And he said, well, I'm going to have to give you a warning. And I think I bruised my jaw on the floor.
Man.
Well, it sounds like there's going to be...
What all are you guys...
Oh, go ahead. You can go, right. Joe. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh. So what all are you guys planning to do? Are you doing any live broadcasting from your booth at the show, or just recording everything for later?
We probably won't. I don't know what the connectivity is going to be like there. Like at Linux Fest, we didn't do any live broadcasting, so to speak, but we did a lot of interviews with people there, and we made those available for download almost immediately that night. Well, we made them available for download that night when we got back to the room.
We did 5 episodes from Boston.
Yeah. We pulled all the interviews that we did together for that day and made it available that night because the bandwidth at LWE was not good at all or reliable.
No. No, it was pretty bad. I don't know why that is. I mean, it's a higher dollar show than most. You would think they could do a lot better job at... you know, providing a network. I know that we will have a network, but I'm not sure what speed it will be. And we're really not trying to emphasize connectivity at the show because mainly we want folks, you don't want to necessarily look out in an audience with their laptops open doing email while you're doing a talk. And we hope that people will be, you know, chatting with one another more than doing stuff on their machines.
Yeah, that's a weird thing. You go to a convention and like everybody's sitting in the corner, you know, some guy sitting in the corner with, you know, his laptop and he's chatting with somebody, you know. It's like why do you come to like a live event if you're going to be doing that? You might as well just stay home.
Cuz it's cool.
I think it's a good thing to have connectivity at something like OSCON because I really didn't use it that much during the talks, but in the off periods, you know, a lot of folks, for a 5-day show, because OSCON basically ran the whole week, and for a 5-day show, you know, a lot of people, it's hard to be away from your email and everything during the day for 5 whole days.
So, that's a good point.
Yeah. But for one day on a Saturday, you should be able to forget about email for a couple hours and just hang out with the people and enjoy the talks.
But you might miss the latest YouTube release.
One of the things we haven't talked about too much yet is all the people who are sponsoring the show and the people who are going to be exhibiting at the show. And I do want to mention DeVry is one of the big sponsors, Astaro. Digium and IBM are our biggest sponsors this year. Sun Microsystems is sponsoring the show. And, of course, all these folks are also going to be exhibiting at the show. Linuxbox, Fort Systems, Hurricane Labs, Pantech, Red Hat, RPath. We've got a booth for .orgs. Several booths for .orgs, NetBSD and FreeBSD are going to be there. GNOME Project will be there. I don't think we're going to have anybody from KDE this year because Academy is going on at the same time, which is kind of a shame because Aaron Ciego was there last year, and I really enjoyed his talk. But they're going to be in Dublin. Why would you want to be in Dublin when you could be in Ohio?
At Trinity College.
Yes, yeah.
That's what I say to myself all the time. Why could I be anywhere?
If you're in Columbus, you're only about 15 seconds away from Dublin.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've got a lot of interesting exhibits for people to visit when they're not in one of the talks. I think that's been kind of downplayed this year because we have so many good talks, but the exhibits are a lot of fun, too.
You know, Link is a former attendee of DeVry, aren't you, Link? Was it DeVry? DeVry you were attending?
I am.
And it was the one in Columbus, wasn't it?
Yes, it is.
I am, too.
And Alan is, too. So.
In Columbus?
Would you go to East Brunswick?
Yeah, I did go to the one in Columbus.
No, I went to a New Brunswick one.
How is their program? I've heard, you know, obviously.
Actually, at the time, it was at Menlo Park.
What kind of education did you guys get?
Hold on, Pat. Link's got to answer that question. And Alan.
they're helping out the Ohio Linux Fest, right? I don't think I'm going to answer that right now.
Oh, okay.
Honestly, yeah. I hope it's, let me put it this way. I hope it's considerably better than it was when I was there. I'm sure it is by this point.
That was quite a long time ago, yeah. Too.
And maybe they'll ask you guys to go teach a class on Linux.
Did you go for something tech, or what did you attend for? Was it Linux related at all, or?
I went for computer information systems.
Okay.
Mainframe?
Yeah. on the IRC, Gorkon was. Except for COBOL was a dead language when I was there, too, even though they were still teaching it. But
COBOL's not dead. It's just resting.
It's resting heavily.
It's running wire work, man. It's still going.
Who is it?
Somebody
was telling me that they had just implemented COBOL support, and I'm trying to remember who it was.
Well, what it is...
I think it was,
you got a lot of shops running COBOL programs, and they're still running, and there's no reason to change it. So what a lot of shops are doing is they're building interfaces for it that are based on, like, Java, using Java servlets as a front end, and that works fine.
Yeah. Well, you know what's funny is COBOL is still going strong in a lot of environments, but the really hardcore proprietary stuff like Microsoft Visual Basic versions died a heavy death because they were proprietary, and Microsoft, you know, killed them off in favor of new versions of Visual Basic and so forth. So the companies that have big investments in COBOL can still use that, whereas companies that had a big investment in Visual Basic are having to rewrite applications because Microsoft keeps changing the language.
Yeah, I hear their .NET initiative isn't taking off as well as they'd like it to. And I forget which show I heard it on, but I heard that the .NET initiative is taking off more in the Linux world with Mono.
Yeah, with Miguel pushing it.
On there.
I work in a financial industry, and there's zero .NET where I'm at. It seems to be that the new development that's going on is going to be Java. That's where it's at.
Yeah. I can't say a lot because I'm not in – I don't follow development quite as much as I follow sysadmin-related topics. But the people I've talked to Java is still very popular in those industries, and there is a lot of interest in Mono just because it is, you know, really cross-platform. I talked to Miguel at Linux World Boston, I think. I think it was Linux World Boston I spoke to him. And he was talking about the Windows Form stuff that they've added to the next version of Mono and some other things that, you know, really mean that you can write things in Mono and run them as a Windows app or a Linux app. And I think that's great because, you know, it gives a lot of folks who are on Windows that don't want to be stuck there flexibility. You know, for applications like call centers and vertical apps and so forth.
Well, back on topic, I mean, it sounds like this is going to be a fantastic show. You know, we're really looking forward to going. You know, it's going to be a week from this Saturday. It's right around the corner. There's going to be tons of talks there. I'm looking forward to going, meeting up with lots of people. We're going to have a little get together on Friday night before the Ohio Linux Fest to hang out with some of our listeners. Everyone is welcome to come hang out with us. I know the convention people are having a get together on Friday too. They're going to have a pizza party. That's great. Maybe we have to stop in there just to say hello. And you know, we're really looking forward to the next Saturday.
What time's the pizza party?
I think it's at 7.
We'll be asleep still, won't we?
The our pizza party starts at 7 o'clock. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we were getting together at 6 at Barley's, which is right across the street from the convention center.
Okay.
So people,
well, I will try to drop by for that.
Yeah, people can mingle back and forth. I mean, hey.
Is it a busy road? I hope not.
I don't know. I've never been to Ohio,
yeah,
to Columbus.
People coming from the pizza, getting drunk and going back for more pizza, and dead people
That's
in the
true.
Road, and horrible accidents. It just
would have had more attendees, but we lost 10 of them last night between the parties, right?
That's it. Oh.
So what talks are you guys most interested
just
in?
Just stick to the crosswalks. Everybody be all right.
You know, I haven't even looked at the talks because I'm under the impression that I'm not even going to be able to go to the talks. But, yeah, like Link says, now I'm interested in yours and interested in hearing Mad Dog.
Jeff Waugh.
So maybe I won't be at the booth. It'll just be
Mad Dog's doing the closing remarks, so you should probably be able to get away for that one.
Well, it's going to be a fight. Like, all of us are going to want to go to that.
Well, we can have the first heat. We'll have the tech show heat where we arm wrestle each other to go to the different talks, and then we can have the actual Linux talks guys. You know, Joe, Ted Hager and Chris DeBonner can wrestle each other to figure out who's going to be doing the one talk at that time slot.
Well, no, we each give a talk at that time slot, and I'm pretty sure that Chris and Ted are going to draw the majority of the audience because those guys are major heavyweights in the community.
That's what's tough when you go to a convention like this. There's so many really good choices out there, you know. It's hard to pick which one you really want to go see.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a couple time slots that I'm having a difficult time deciding which one I want to go to. I know I definitely don't want to miss Rich Bowen is doing 20 things you didn't know you could do with your Apache web server. And I don't know about you, but I want to know what those 20 things are that I didn't know about beforehand.
That sounds like an interesting. You know, I don't want to know what talks are going on because I don't want to know what I'm going to miss.
I really want to hope that, you know, some of the people listening to this show are going to come by and volunteer to man the audio boards in there so that, you know, perhaps somebody can make some of this stuff available as an audio file we can listen to later.
Yeah, and we're shooting to get some guests on as well. You know, we're going to try to get a few people on and maybe put out an episode or two, at least one or two.
One or two episodes for a one-day show.
Yeah. Well, we got the pre-show. We could do it at the Friday night to get together.
Oh, yeah,
that could
right.
get messy.
Yeah.
It could be fun, though.
That's probably going to get a lot of hate.
Hey, is Jeremy going to show up? Have we heard from him?
I don't know. I hope so.
One of the moderators on Linux Questions died. You hear about this? He posted something today. One of the guys passed away. It was pretty bad, man.
Well,
not to bring everybody down, but
yeah,
I saw that.
Now I don't know where to go. Now, do we continue with the guy who died, or do we Go back to Ohio Linux.
We're going back to Ohio.
You kind of killed that.
I just mentioned him because we brought up Jeremy.
Could have brought that up towards the end.
we'll have to shoot Jeremy. Jeremy's a good guy. Hopefully he can make it.
That's a shame.
Yeah. Our condolences to the guy's family.
Anyway. How do you tactfully segue back to Linux Fest after that?
Show must go on.
I don't know. Oh, sheesh. You know what? And I don't think that you answered this before or mentioned this before, but they did. You said that they were talking about recording the shows. Now, is that going to be something that you think they're going to want to sell, or are they going to make available for download?
Oh, we're not going to try to sell them. I mean, we just want to make them available.
Awesome.
So I believe the Lopsa folks actually have offered to host those. And if not, I'm sure OSDG can do it, or maybe we can both host them. So that won't be a problem.
That's great. Because we're all about the free.
With a capital F.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Well, I think it would be unfair for us to charge, people to download them after, we're not paying the speakers to give the talks, and it's not a for-profit organization. We just want to make enough money every year to break even and be able to do next year's show. So it's not like, we're all out trying to make money or anything like that. Because I'm perfectly content to, donate my time, and I know the other folks are too, just to make sure that something like this happens every year. Because that's really what makes Open Source run, is people who are willing to give a little bit of their time to make sure that there are things there for the community. So I'm happy to do this because I'm not a programmer, so this is one way that I can help,
Yeah, that's good.
Should be a really good event, man. We're really looking forward to meeting everybody and hanging out with everybody. You know, if you guys are in Ohio or in any neighboring state, or even if you're not in a neighboring state, please check it out. It sounds like it's going to be a great event. We're all really excited to be going.
Are you guys going to have any sort of T-shirts or anything so people will recognize you walking around?
We'll probably have our polo shirts on, and we got a big sign in the booth, and we'll probably be giving away some stickers at the very least.
And DVDs, CDs?
Well, I don't know if we're giving them away. We could, I guess.
I can make some. I got a burner over here.
Yeah, we could crank some out.
I really wish that we had the money to buy more T-shirts to give away at this. And it's
T-shirts are the most expensive thing.
Yeah, I know. It's unfortunate that we dumped all our money on Linux World Expo, not expecting to go anywhere else this year, which is unfortunate because this would be the place to really give away the T-shirts.
Ohio Linux Fest might have to become our Linux World Expo next year because...
Not so soon anyway, right?
Right. Yeah. How will they recognize you, Joe?
Well, I'm sure people will be happy just to hang out. What's that?
How will they recognize you?
Look for the big ugly guy. That would be me.
I think that describes everybody's going to be there.
I was going to say immediately I thought of Link. But
with facial hair. Oh, wait, that doesn't...
That's Alan.
There's an old picture of me. I don't know where they found it. There's an old picture of me on the schedule on the speakers page, but I don't really look like that anymore because I have facial hair again. So show up at my talk, and then you'll know what I look like.
Sounds like a plan.
So... And then, after my talk, ask the three people that were there, and they'll be able to tell you.
You'll get more than three people. There's plenty of people who want to go check out your talk.
Four.
Dan will go.
Go to what?
To Joe's talk.
I'm kind of excited.
Chris DeBonis talk?
I'm kind of excited about it because,
Ted Hager.
You know.
Well, what's Ted going to talk about? Ted is probably going to talk about...
I'm actually kind of bummed. I have...
Worst comes to worst, Joe. You know, you can take you and the four people that you have in your talk and just bring them over to our booth, and we can, you know, then at least we can hear it, too.
There you go.
And maybe Dean Haglund will be in our booth. Who knows?
Well, I would actually not mind seeing Chris's talk.
Maybe.
Because, you know, he's an interesting speaker. You know, and he's been involved with Linux and open source for just a really long time. So it should be interesting to hear his talk. And Ted Hager, I've heard his podcast, but I've never actually met him. So, I think he'll probably do an interesting talk. But I've actually gotten to sit down with Miguel and Matt Friedman, talking to them about Novell stuff. So I already know what he's going to be talking about. And Novell is doing some cool stuff on the desktop, so his talk should be interesting if you're really into the Linux desktop.
Lots of choices.
Yes.
But there's only one choice.
I tried to convince them that mine should be the only talk at that time, but they didn't go for it.
We're going to recommend your talk, Joe, because you're on right now.
You know, I would recommend Joe's talk because, like, you know, I already heard a lot of news that's coming out of Google. And I've heard Ted Hagar speak, and I know a lot of stuff that's coming out of Novell. And I'm really interested in hearing what Joe has to say.
Yeah.
See that?
Maybe they'll appeal to different audiences. I mean, we expect to have about 1,000 people at the show. So... maybe there will be at least 20 people who are interested in not the desktop and not Google.
You're going to get more than 20 people.
So, but, I mean, everybody loves Google, you know, so you can't underestimate that. So.
Yeah, but you know what? What's the name of your speech again? Are you Linux compatible? Is that it?
Yes.
I mean, that's got a ring to it. That's got a draw, a hook. And it's timely, too.
I hope so.
That's my opinion.
I haven't actually finished my slides yet, so.
Your PowerPoint slides.
Yeah. That is like such a, you know. A
No.
What not to do.
You'd be surprised how many folks give Linux talks and use PowerPoint. That will not be me.
We would not be surprised.
The only thing worse than doing a PowerPoint presentation is having a booth in a .org pavilion and playing with an Xbox 360. But that's just my problem, so.
Well, you know what? We noticed a lot at Linux World.
Unless you've hacked it to run Linux.
Exactly.
Yeah. What we noticed a lot at Linux World was not so much as the people using PowerPoint as the people using OS X and Keynote.
Yeah, there's a lot of that too. I have a Mac machine that I bought before I went to work for Linux.com for OSTG because I had written a lot for Unix Review, and I wanted to be able to run various open source programs on Mac OS X to see how they operate on different flavors of free or semi-free software or operating systems. But honestly, when I sit down at the Mac, I really don't enjoy using it compared to using KDE on Linux.
Yeah. So,
that might just be me.
Well, you know,
I will say one thing. I'd be curious to ask you guys a question. What are you using for your podcast? What software?
We use a combination of Windows
like
Media
mixing.
Player and what is it? Final Cut Pro?
iTunes.
iTunes, yeah. No. We're straight Linux over here. We do the recording with Audacity. We run both Skype and various asterisk clients for the phone interviews. And then when we're done, with recording in Audacity, I usually use AUG encode or LAME to encode the files into, you know, from a WAV to a AUG or an MP3 file. So we're all straight Linux. Oh, we also, for the streaming purposes...
Do you have a good solution?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just wondering if you have a good solution for recording Skype calls.
Well, we have a mixer over here, and I have two sound cards on my
separate
machine.
Or use separate machines.
And that seems to work the best.
There is a script available, though, for recording Skype on the same machine.
Yeah. It's not as easy as it is on some of the other OSs, but one of the problems, I think, is... Skype's using ALSA now, so that covers that up. But it works best for us that we found if we just have either a separate machine or a separate sound card and pull it in through the mixer.
Okay.
Gizmo. Is that it? Gizmodo?
Gizmo.
Is it Gizmo or Gizmodo?
It's Gizmo.
It's the one that's put out by the Linspire guys.
It's Gizmo.
Have a similar service to Skype that allows you to record. And it does a fair job, I think. I've used it. It does a fair job, but it's not as popular as Skype. And if you run your own asterisk box, and all you can record on the asterisk box, and when the phone calls are finished, it will mix the two audio tracks together for you. If you're doing if you want to do something completely asterisk space. So asterisk is very flexible like that. And of course, you know that because you have friends that are asterisk support personnel, correct?
Yeah, but I honestly haven't looked into asterisk too deeply yet. It's kind of like one of those to-do list items.
Yeah. No, it's a weekend project. Couple hours.
We should grab Mark. If Mark Spencer's there or one of his guys is there, next Saturday, we should grab one of those guys and talk to them.
I will actually, yeah. See, that's another, great thing about the Ohio Linux Fest. I mean, sure, you can go see... A lot of these folks do talks, but they're going to be, as far as I know, almost all the speakers plan to be around all day so that you actually have the opportunity to talk to them a little bit one-on-one and, pick their brains and have an opportunity to ask questions that, you very rarely have the opportunity to really get up close and personal with the folks who are heavy into projects like Ubuntu or... GNOME and things like that, or Asterisk or Apache or whatever.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be really cool. Really great. Great place to network over there.
Yeah, absolutely. I would, if anybody is just joining in, I would like to remind folks that the registration for the all-conference pass ends tomorrow. So if you want to sign up to actually get the T-shirt and the goodies, that sign-up ends tomorrow. And then, because we have to get all the information to the catering folks and so forth. But the registration, the free registration continues through next Friday.
And by tomorrow,
you still have plenty of time to sign up, but please do sign up if you want to attend.
And by tomorrow, you mean September 21st. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's linuxfest.org, right?
That's ohiolinux.org.
Ohiolinux.org.
Yeah.
So get over there and sign up.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it's very painless. It only takes a few minutes.
And OhioLinux.org runs on an IIS server running AS active server pages, right?
Right. It's the same thing as the Linux World Expo.
Yes.
Yeah, Microsoft top to bottom. Yeah.
I remember going on the Linux World Expo website, and I would see, like, you know, like I could see the connections going down, you know, Microsoft SQL Server.
Uh-huh.
Well, they're a platinum sponsor.
Yeah.
They're the only platinum sponsor, Microsoft. Right? I don't see Microsoft listed on here at all. I take it they're not going to really be there.
I'm disappointed.
They haven't contacted us, as far as I know. I don't think we're really on their radar.
And Apple's not going to be there either, you know. I was looking forward to a port of iTunes for Linux.
I wouldn't mind seeing that, but
they'll be there now that you're going to be there, Pat. We're going to let them know.
Awesome.
Yeah, and when I said we're all
interesting when you see.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I always find it interesting when you see folks from Microsoft at Linux conferences. Because it's just odd. You know, I mean, the folks I met at OpsCon, for example, I sat down with Bill Hilf. And he's a nice guy, or at least he, you know, seems like a nice guy, as much as you can tell in talking to somebody for 20 or 30 minutes, but it's very obvious that they're trying in some ways to get open source, but they don't quite.
They just don't get it.
Now, I think they've gotten the concept that the distributed development part, you know, they've gotten that part, but they really haven't really embraced the concept of users having rights. I don't think that's a concept that Microsoft can really grasp.
We're victims.
Who's we? I don't use
it.
Well, when I say we, I mean the masses.
Oh.
In Microsoft's world, it's all about selling licenses to things. And so the concept of, you know, giving your users some sort of rights over the programs that they use just doesn't really resonate when your whole business is, you know, selling licenses. I forget what the exact quote is, but there's a very good quote about it. It's very hard to make a person understand something when their salary depends on them not understanding it.
Yeah, I was going to say, when we had said that we were all about the Linux here, for a while it was hard to convince Pat not to bring his what did you have there, an iBook?
Yeah, right. Look who's talking.
Yeah.
Mr. Apple. But in all honesty, Dan, you never paid for any of those machines.
When was the last time you saw my Apple?
That's true.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah. And I won't have it anymore after next week, so.
Good for you.
Hey, some of the iBooks run Ubuntu really well.
Yeah, but the Lenovo machines run it just as well.
My $550 piece of shit Walmart made by Chinese slave labor works pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. you know, I ran I got a MacBook test machine through work, and I ran Ubuntu on it, and even though it ran really well, it was still a kind of a kludge to get it set up. You know, you had to either, you know, do some funky stuff after you had it installed to get EFI support, or you had to run the boot camp, which is kludge support to begin with. But it was still nice. And you know, what is more impressive now is that now that Apple has come out in strong support of Parallels, that it's okay to run virtual machines on systems because it's got the Steve Jobs stamp of approval. And that's what's important.
Exactly. When Steve says it's okay, it's okay.
Right. Because it was like, I remember, you know, who, I remember everybody, all the pundits saying, nah, no way. Who's going to want to run Linux dual boots? Who's going to run Linux and virtual machines? And then Apple comes out and Parallels comes out. It's like, now you can finally run Windows and Apple.
It's a marketing point. It's a marketing point,
right.
Selling point.
It's the best thing in the world. Virtual machines are the greatest. Everybody's going to be running virtual machines. Complete turnaround. What the heck was that?
That sounds Apple.
Probably is.
What I think is
space aliens.
Microsoft is slightly more open than Apple.
Yeah,
in that, you know, Microsoft doesn't care what machine you run Windows on; they'll sell you a license for anything.
Exactly, and you can plug all different hardware into it.
Yeah. So.
You're preaching to the choir, Joe. You know, I've often said that. You know, a lot of ways, Apple are worse than Microsoft. You know, Microsoft is a software company. Apple controls everything. They control the software. They control the hardware. And they control the media now. They're letting you use the media because they're nice.
Yeah. So, Apple, I think Apple's operating system is nicer than Microsoft's, but I still wouldn't want to run it as my primary OS. It just, meh.
Yeah, Vista is, I don't know, man. Even the Microsoft people are saying that Vista is going to be a mess. Like, the whole stack and parts of the stack were completely rewritten, especially, like, the networking TCP/IP stack. They're saying that there's going
to
be...
Somebody's been listening to security now.
Yeah. I mean, if someone like Steve Gibson, who's, like, hardcore Microsoft, is talking about, you know, Vista and security and vulnerabilities, they're going to have problems. And it's not just because they're number one, honestly. It's because the thing is probably a hodgepodge, you know, half-ass engineered product.
I really I don't want to rag on Microsoft too much, believe it or not, because...
You're a shareholder?
Mostly I'd rather talk about the things that are great about Linux as opposed to knocking Microsoft, because I don't think it's necessary to knock Microsoft to, you know, acknowledge that Linux is a great system, right? But I think that the problems they've had with Vista kind of show the problem with Microsoft's method of distribution, you know, to compel people to keep buying licenses. They feel they've got to keep putting more and more features into it, which keeps delaying, you know, their ship dates, right? But then it turns around and they can't even get the features that they promised by the ship dates. Whereas Linux and open source projects are free to make small incremental releases like GNOME and Ubuntu and a lot of other projects. They can release whenever they feel necessary, when things are ready, and there's no marketing pressure and there's no dollar incentive between, you know, for example, for KDE to release on a specific date or to hold off on a specific date. When the feature's ready, it can ship. You know, the folks that are waiting on features that are supposed to be in Vista have been waiting for years.
Yeah, when was the last release of Microsoft? When did XP come out? Was it 2001?
Sounds about right.
It's been years, man. It's been so long.
Couldn't have been 2001.
2000.
Yeah. Really? They went from Windows 2000 right to XP?
Yeah.
In 1 year?
It might have been late 2001, early 2002. But it's been a really long time. I mean, don't you think, like, you know...
They had Windows NE.
That's true.
Was ME before or after XP?
Trolls,
which everybody, including Microsoft, acknowledges was horrible.
Troll says XP came out, it's going to be the five-year anniversary in October. So we're talking 2001. October 2001 was when it came out.
Yeah, I just looked it up.
It's a long time. I mean, you look at all the releases of Linux.
I just looked it up on Wikipedia.
When Linux comes out every, you know, distros come out every 6 to 9 months.
There's a new distro every month of something.
You know, it's...
And everybody complains.
Don't you think, though, that, like, this whole closed monster, it's really coming to the end of its development cycle. You know, it's really...
That's why Vista's coming out. It's a whole new development cycle,
yeah,
baby.
This is like the end, though, it
Jump
seems.
Jump on the bandwagon. The end of what?
The whole monstrosity of code. How many lines are coded in Windows? Something like, what, like 6, 7 million?
13
million?
Codes. They just keep repeating.
13 million lines?
13 lines.
That's insane. How the hell do you freaking clean that up?
You know, you just start over.
That's what Apple did. Right? When they went from OS 9 to OS 10. They took the next project and they took that code base and they built on it. You know, steal a few things from BSD. You know, slap on your pretty GUIs and there you go.
Well, you know, I don't want to belabor the Microsoft bashing because I know that Joe, that's what Joe's speech is all about.
I agree. When you try to advocate to people, you want to present the strengths of what Linux is all about.
No, but really, one of the interesting things I heard today, and speaking of the closed technology, because I don't have my finger on the pulse of the media anymore. I haven't had much time, but looking over some of the posts on the Tidewater Lug in the area where I'm going to, there was a mention about DRM. And that Microsoft's new Zune media player is not going to support their
own DRM, right?
Their own WMA and WMV that are DRM protected. And there's an article over there on the EFF.org, a deep link, which I'll post in the chat, which is, you know, it's pretty telling and really interesting that even Microsoft can't support some of its own technology, the closedness of some of its own technology. And, you know, on the flip side of that, Are You Linux Compatible kind of roll into some of those issues with desktop Linux usage? With, you know, like desktop Linux users can't partake in most of the online music sales.
Absolutely. And I'm not afraid, by the way, to tell folks, depending on what you want to do with your desktop system and depending on how much you really care about whether or not about things like DRM, you know, Linux may in fact not be right for you. And I'm not afraid to say that because I think it's better to be honest with people. And I don't think necessarily Linux is the right operating system for everybody. I think it is the right operating system for a lot more people than use it currently. But I don't necessarily think that it's the best operating system for everybody on the planet, you know. But I, you know, will talk about DRM, and I will talk about the fact that there are some things that you won't get to partake in or can't partake in as easily if you're running Linux. Watching, you know, it's still a bit of a chore to watch DVDs on Linux, for example. Which it shouldn't be that way, but it is.
Yeah, see, when we went through the whole online music debacle and not finding any service that would support Linux, we got around the whole DRM issue by checking out all of mp3.com. And it's been cheap.
All of mp3.com.
Yeah, all of mp3.com.
And Magnatune, right?
Magnatune
is a great service. I love Magnatune. I mean, yeah, it's mostly independent stuff, but it's got a great catalog of like classical music and other types of music. It's fantastic.
As far as independent music goes, I've really, in some ways, the whole MPAA thing and the whole RIAA. Cracking down and being really evil on people has helped me, kind of spurred me to look into a lot of music that I wouldn't have found otherwise, like Magnatune and CD Baby and some other sites that are not run by major labels. And there's just like a world of great music out there that's not on a major label and isn't DRM infected. There's a lot of, depending on it doesn't really matter what kind of music you like on Magnatune because they've got a wide variety of stuff. But there's a lot of great stuff out there that's not on a major label now.
Have you used Last.fm at all? That's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, I use it a lot. I use Last.fm and Paradise Radio to listen to. I also have XM Radio that I listen to quite a bit. And I still, I actually, when it comes to buying music, I still kind of prefer to have a CD when all is said and done.
It's a nice backup. You got the backup on the CD, and you can rip it and, you know, encode it to whatever you like, OGG or whatever.
Right, yeah. You have a lot more flexibility in bit rates, too.
Absolutely. And plus, there's a lot of players nowadays that let you use OGG.
Yeah. It's a shame that the iPod doesn't support it.
Yeah. I've never owned an iPod, and I'm glad I don't.
I thought you were buying one next week.
No.
Two.
I hear all these horror stories from you and, like, my sister and other people I know that own them. They seem to, like, die after, like, you know, 6 months. You know, yeah, I'll go spend $300 on an iPod and it'll last, what, 8 months?
But they're so trendy.
A couple of years ago for my birthday, I actually got an iPod. And I haven't had any problems with it, but it also works really well with Linux and plays plain old MP3s just fine.
Yeah, your iPod can support OGG files if you install the iPod Linux project on there. OGG support is a little iffy.
Works really well with Rhythmbox.
What does the iPod?
Yeah, I mean, basically on Ubuntu, if I plug in an iPod, you know, and open Rhythmbox, I can just listen to everything on the iPod off of Rhythmbox just fine.
Now, do you use iTunes or, on the Linux side, Sharp Music?
Mainly what I use on the Linux side is either Rhythmbox or Amarok, and I've still used iTunes to load it. I am looking at some of the other stuff to actually load the iPod and just cut iTunes completely out of the cycle. But I don't buy anything through iTunes because I really just don't see any point in buying the proprietary format that, you know, I have no control over.
Does Sharp Music still work with iTunes? I know it was working for a while, but I haven't gotten anything from iTunes in a couple of years.
I don't know. Maybe I can check it out and see if it still runs.
The only thing that I've pulled off of iTunes is at work, you know, from the Pepsi vending machine. For a while, they were giving away free songs. And I think after, you know, a few months, I had, like, you know, like a stack of them, like 8 or 9 free songs to pull off of there. And then I use Sharp Music to, you know, log in and pull off the files. And it worked great back then. I don't know if it still works, though. So. I know there's Windows clients that...
Yeah, I'm not sure. See, that's kind of... That's part of the problem of trying to support stuff like that, like iTunes. You know, when you're trying to support a proprietary package, always having to play catch up. So I'd be a little hesitant to rely on that.
Alan, what do you use for your music?
He has one of those gerbils that runs in the. Cage that spins the turntable.
Right now, I've got everything. Runs in the cage suit. Yeah, good old vinyl. No, I've got a nano that does all my podcasts and stuff. And then I have an older iPod that keeps my music on it. They work fine under Linux for me. So,
dude, you buy songs from iTunes?
I'm trying to buy one right now, but I don't know what to buy.
What, Sharp Music?
Yeah.
No.
What?
I've I have never had any desire to buy music from iTunes.
And now they're pushing movies in low bit rates, right? Well, what are they charging for the videos now on iTunes?
I don't know. Ask Link. He's been buying
them. That's what they're doing now, yeah.
Yeah, it seems to be the thing now. And it's got DRM on it.
I read...
$15, something like that.
Yeah, I read it was like $13 for the first week and like $15 after that, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And can you burn that to DVD?
Something about older movies will be less, but...
What is this? iMovies, right? Is that what they're calling it? iMovies?
I don't know.
What is it? 22 Arcacia Avenue? Did they change the name? Is that Charlotte?
Yeah, that doesn't really Charlotte now. A lot.
I don't know if that's what it's called.
Just
or not,
movies that you buy through iTunes.
I can't. It's one thing I hate about iTunes is they don't always have the full album. Like if there's a best of, like if I want a Number of the Beast from Iron Maiden, it's on the best of, but it's not on the Number of the Beast album, so I can't get the Number of the Beast album. Because, oh wait, here it is. And the song I want is...
Did you try to find out before, Dan?
Yeah.
Number 22, Acacia Avenue?
Yeah, but it's not on here. I got Gangland, Total Eclipse, Hallowed Be Thy Name, Invaders, Number of the Beast, Prisoner, Children of Damn, Run It Hills, and that's it. But where is 22 Arcacia Avenue?
That's on Number of the Beast. There.
Is that totally... What is Total Eclipse? That's not on Number of the
Total
Beast.
Total Eclipse was like a B-side.
But that's not on Number of the Beast.
No, it's not. It was like a B-side to one of the singles off of that album, I think.
So where's 22... They don't have... Wait, is it not approved Apple song? Well, I don't have I don't have Number of the Beast except the live version. Let's see. Can I purchase it?
You can preview it, right?
Oh, I failed. I guess... I don't know why.
They might have closed your account. When was the last time you actually bought something from there?
I don't know. LibVLC, yeah. I can view, but I can't do anything, so.
I guess it doesn't work.
I don't know. I'm not going to be the definitive answer that it doesn't work.
Well, maybe someone in the RC can let us know if they bought something from iTunes using Sharp Music recently. I haven't done it in a couple of years. It's been a while.
Well, we'll see what happens. I don't know. But what I do have running now is Internet Explorer 6 on Linux. Wow. From that IE... what is it, that IE Linux?
You tried that?
Yeah, I tried it out. I figured, why not? Let's see how well it runs. It runs pretty well, I guess. I got IE6 running on Linux. Wow.
Well, how well does it do?
How well does it do? I don't know how well it does. I mean, it's here. I'm looking at it right now. I'm not going to keep it running, though. I'll have to give a review of it later. I don't want to, you know, do something that messes up the recording and then the whole thing crashes. And then we lose all this valuable information and then get hate mail.
Like what the guys from Linux Reality were talking about when they were doing the Apple podcast?
Yeah. I wouldn't trust running it, you know, and expect it to be stable. Well, we'll see what happens.
So why are you running IE6?
I don't know.
Just so you can?
Just because I figured I'd try it out. Because the IE Linux project. Was it IE6 Linux project? Was that it? Somebody put it in a forum, I think.
Last week, right?
Yeah, it was in the IRC. And figured I'd check it out. I got around to doing it last night. It was just a script that you run. Answer a few questions and it pulls it down. I guess you can get Flash 9 support that way if you really want it.
That should be coming out pretty soon, Flash 9.
I mean, the guy did a damn good job, I guess. You know what's good, though? If you do website development, that would be a good thing to have, to test it in Internet Explorer. That way you don't have to, you know, go into Windows to test it. You could run Wine. What do I know? Because you can, that's
VMware
why.
VMware is awfully good for that.
Yeah, VMware is good. But, you know, I figured I'd try this out, check it out, see what it looks like. But VMware is great. Are you a big fan of VMware, Joe?
I use it a hell of a lot. It's incredibly useful for the kind of testing I do for reviews and so forth. Particularly, like if I want to test Samba or something like that, I can pop open Windows and VMware. I don't have to have it in a dual boot situation or anything like that.
Yeah.
I know Link is into Parallels, right, Link? You got Parallels?
I haven't tried Parallels yet. I probably will be doing
I do have Parallels running on my...
Gotta love the lag.
Yeah, good old lag. You have it running on your what?
Silence.
What, does he just turn off his headphones when there's a conflict?
We could have dropped out when he said that.
It's possible.
So Link, you like Parallels?
No, I'm just waiting because I never know who you guys are talking to. If you're talking to me or you're talking to Joe or whoever, I have Parallels running on my father-in-law's machine, and it works just fine. I mean, I really like it.
Are you running Parallels, Joe?
Not yet. I have a. I'll be doing a review of it later, probably in about a month.
What distribution are you running?
I run Ubuntu.
Link, are you running Parallels under Ubuntu?
Yes.
Yeah, you gotta be. I know you have to be careful about what distribution you run under, because there's a certain version of a kernel that after 2.6.15 is it?
Yeah, there's a kernel issue.
Like a 2.6.15 something, and maybe it's a subversion of the kernel there. That kernel or later Parallels doesn't run under.
I don't even know if they fixed the problem.
I think they fixed all that stuff already.
They did? You sure? I'll have to try it then.
Yeah, I'd like to check it out.
Because last time I tried it, it caused that infinite loop and
the installer.
Yeah, it messes up your system.
I'm pretty sure because Parallels has released in at least one revision so far.
Yeah, 2.6.16.
It's kind of interesting to me just how ubiquitous virtualization is now, because I remember when VMware came out and it was just such a novel idea being able to run Windows under Linux or vice versa. You know, and now there are just so many options for using it.
Yeah. And it's just only going to get more and more popular. It'll be interesting to see where it's going to be in another year and a half.
I think at some point it may be with stuff like Xen, you know, there may be a point where the whole thing of worrying about what operating system an application is written for is going to go away. It'll just be that easy to send, you know, just send a modified OS to run your application if you need to.
So you're talking about you get an application that comes with its own OS?
Yeah, basically. I mean, there are a couple, instead of having to worry about, like, if a certain version of Windows or Linux supports an application, you can just, say, modify a very basic version of Linux and ship your application on top of that and run it inside of a container.
Don't you think that would be an overkill on the systems, though? I mean, people started really doing that. Like OpenOffice would ship with its own version of Linux, and the GIMP would ship with its own version of Linux. And every time you want to start one of these applications up, it starts its own virtual machine.
I don't know that you would need to do it for every application, but I'm thinking of more things like more specific applications like Oracle or something like that.
Uh-huh.
More enterprise level, I guess, is, you know, what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Or say something like Asterisk. I mean, there's already a lot of, if you look at the VMware site, those the VMware images they have for download for special applications.
So what you're kind of saying is instead of having to sit there and set up and configure an application, you could just ship the application ready to go in its own little virtual machine. All you have to do is just, you know, fire it up and do some
exactly,
basic configuration.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that happening. There's an interesting guy in our lug who works for or has a company. I don't know if he works for it or has a company that that's their job is porting legacy systems that will not run on new hardware because of, you know, I think he was saying primarily like NT4 applications that will not run on new hardware because NT4 can't support it.
So what do they build, like virtual machines?
Yeah, they create a virtual machine image for VMware. They run the VMware on top of that new hardware and, just pull that image on there and it works just fine.
That's cool.
He said they could, like, do a live system and there's, like, what, a few seconds downtime, if that.
Probably it probably runs better in the virtual machine than it ever did running on an actual NT4 server.
Yeah. This is, he was telling us that he has companies that, you know, they invested millions of dollars into this stuff, and they can't just, like, dump it off somewhere else, but they can't get the hardware anymore for what their machines run on. And VMware has been a godsend to them. This is a fantastic application.
Yeah.
Really important stuff. I got to take this.
So, Alan, how's your Nokia 770 toy? You been doing some video with that?
Very nice. We've been converting video on it. I put together a little script that works off of Myth now, so whatever I record on Myth will get converted over and dropped into a directory in my home directory. So every morning I pop in the media card, copy everything over while I'm waiting for breakfast to finish up, be done with it. And I did a DVD for my personal use for tomorrow for lunch.
Cool. Now,
actually,
now,
came out pretty good.
Now, did you use a canned script or you wrote your own?
Beautiful.
No, there's a script out there called 770-encode. It's off. You can find it off the MAMO site, which is the development site for the Nokia. And basically it uses like mEncode for the mPlayer from mPlayer. And basically anything mPlayer can play, it will convert for you. I haven't been able to throw anything at it that mPlayer didn't play already that it won't convert perfectly on it. So it works. It's one line command. It works perfectly. It's a little Perl script.
Now, how long does it take to, like, encode, say, like, a 30-minute video to that 770 format?
And there it goes to... well, let's see. We just did an hour and a half video, and it took about half an hour.
That's not bad at all.
Roughly about half an hour.
How fast the machine did you do
that? So it's pretty fast. I've got a three gig desktop here.
So it's a decent machine then.
So it cranks away.
Cool. Awesome, man. You really like
it? Yeah, I mean, yeah, obviously the faster your machine, the faster it's going to encode stuff for you. The Nokia is great. Everyone should own one.
Have you tried some of the homegrown
Everyone
apps?
Everyone who likes Linux should own one.
Have you tried using some of those homegrown apps?
Well, let's see. What do I have on here that's homegrown? Actually, most of the stuff on here is homegrown on it because the stuff that Nokia actually supports is rather limited. It's, you know, basically their audio player, their video player, know, the file manager and stuff. So everything else you want to get for it are on here. I've actually got an audio recorder on here as well. That just came out. So you can fire it up there. You can use it, you know, record your notes on or whatever you want to do and be done and, you know, play it back whenever you want. There's an odd player on here that I've got, X-Terminal, to-do list. There's a lot of stuff on the site. There's always more stuff coming up on the site every time I look at it. There's a little bit more that's popping up on the MAMO site, which is the official repository.
Cool. Now you're doing this all on Slack, right? Or are you doing this on a Ubuntu box?
$350.
What do you run, Slack?
What, my conversion?
Yeah, the machine that you're doing this on.
On the desktop, yeah, Slack. Yeah, the myth box and everything is a Slack box. I mean, you could run it on anything. It's just a Perl script.
Cool. Sounds like you're doing some good stuff, man. You should write something up, Alan. Share, man.
Well, there's a little bit on my blog there. I'm not very good at writing, so. Well, I did. It's on the blog with the links of where you can get the stuff. I'm not very good at writing, so that's, you know. I try.
Yeah, 7.7 looks like a really nice device, and, you know, when you let me play with it for a bit, it seemed really cool. Now, if they could integrate a phone into that, that would be awesome. But you said you were able to run, what, Gizmo on that?
Yeah, there isn't. Well, the Gizmo you can run on there. Also, the Google Talk client is on there as well. So if you know anybody on Google Talk, you can talk to them as well. The Gizmo one, I guess you can buy, I haven't really used it too much. I know it comes with some minutes on there already. And I've made it, as long as you got a wireless access point, you can use it like a phone.
Cool.
Joe, Skype ported to it, boy, that'll be the thing.
Joe, have you?
Yeah, if they do a Skype port, that would be cool.
Joe, have you had a chance to check out the Nokia?
I'm sorry?
Have you had a chance to check out the Nokia 770, the tablet?
Yeah, actually, they did a program at Linux World Expo and let some of the media folks there use them for the show. They're pretty cool. I didn't really get to hammer on it too hard because the wireless in at Linux World wasn't that great, but it was a pretty interesting little device.
Seems a lot of the new smartphones are coming out with Linux. We've seen the...
smartphones in Japan.
Yeah. Well, QT's come in Germany is the other place where they come out with them. QT has a development phone they released. It's like $700 to do early development on it. The green phone, have you seen that?
We will always get phones 2 years behind Japan, people.
In Korea. China.
Alan makes the phones in Japan. The chips in the phones in Japan. Right, Alan?
We make the chips that go on the place I work makes the chips for a lot of the phones that go in Korea and China and stuff. You will always get phones here that are 2 years behind. It's just the way the world and the industry works.
Why is that?
I have no clue. I think this because they like all the new things. And I think phones are a lot cheaper over there than they are here. It's that the phone people over here want to lock you in. I think it's much more of a disposable thing over there.
Yeah, cell phones in the United States are too darn expensive.
Boy, the lag is bad.
Oh, yeah. leg is bad.
We got to wrap it up anyhow.
Yeah, we got a couple of minutes.
Yeah. Should probably say our thank yous.
Do some shout-outs to the Frapper people.
We'll get to that, but we want to thank Joe for coming on tonight and, you know, talking about the Linux Fest, and hopefully it'll encourage more people to come out after hearing Joe inform us as to what exactly is going to be going on and all the events there. And I mean, it sounds like it's going to be a blast and a really great time, and I'm looking forward to getting there. Thank you, Joe.
Hey, no problem. I got to say, I'm just as excited as anybody about Ohio Linux Fest this year, because I think it's going to be just a ton of fun. A lot of the shows that I go to, it's mostly work to cover them, but I think this Linux Fest is just going to be a blast.
Yeah, and it's less than 2 weeks away.
Week and a half.
Eight days away.
Yeah.
9 days away. 8, 9. Yeah. 8 days
if
you're going
to
Friday. Yeah, don't forget, tomorrow is the deadline for the all-inclusive pass, correct?
Right. Free passes, you can still sign up through next Friday, but the all-conference pass, you have to sign up by tomorrow.
Yeah, so people get out there. Drop your bucks down, support a worthy cause, and get some have an exciting time. Linux.
OhioLinux.org.
OhioLinux.org for Ohio Linux Fest. Joe, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. It's been fantastic speaking with you, and we're going to be seeing you in about 8 days.
Okay. Thanks for having me on.
Great. We'll see you next week and a half.
Thanks for coming on.
Take care.
Thanks, Joe.
Alrighty. Bye.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Alan, I'm going to cut you off a second, then I'm going to bring you back in, and maybe that'll kill some of the lag, okay?
Okie dokie.
The lag just...
That was brutal, man. It gets progressively worse as the longer that we're on there.
Right.
We're back.
Okay, now, the lag's gone, isn't it?
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to do the show with, like, two separate Skype clients running.
See,
when we have guests, if we're going to do it that way.
Because I wonder if there's an increased lag if we have somebody who's on Skype out and somebody who's on regular Skype. I wonder if that really increases the lag on that because it's going through two different systems.
Probably, yeah.
Pat, you can do some Frapper shout outs.
We're definitely going to have to do it with like two separate ones.
Yeah, we've got plenty of Frapper. You know, the Frapper map has actually picked up quite a bit in the last few weeks.
Was there anything else we were going to cover tonight?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what you guys covered. I had to leave the room because my youngest daughter lost her doodle dog and would refuse to go to bed for the past hour and a half.
Oh, my.
So I had to talk to her on the phone.
That's got to be tough, man. So, Dan, you got a job, huh?
Yeah.
So when are you going to be moving down after we come back from Columbus?
Yep. We come back Sunday night, and it's Monday morning I have to leave.
Wow. That's a lot of driving, man.
Yes. I'm going to check out our Frapper map, though.
You want me to read them off?
Go ahead. Start reading them off.
We've got Tom Was in Huntington Station, New York. We've got Mad Medeiros in Fairhaven, Massachusetts. We've got Rue Justino in Portugal. We've got Sebastian Arlard in Sundsvall, Sweden. We've got David Watson in Liverpool, England. Mike Trichler in New Britain, PA. David McDonald in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. We've got Nick Bromfield in Port Elgin, Ontario, Canada. We've got Zachary Burns in Toledo, Ohio. We've got Werner Habel in Germany. We've got Scott Gilmore in Brownsburg, Indiana. We've got Chaos in Pittsburgh, PA. We've got Mike Cornelson from Manitoba, Canada. John Meadows from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Tracy Holtz from Anna Voronezh, Russia. We've got Bart from Tongeren, Belgium. We've got Nate G from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Dave Gillis from Brownsville, Texas. Jeff Quirton from Perth, Australia. Andres Laszlo from Trenčín, Slovakia. And that's it for Frapper. Canada coming in big time, man. We're big in Canada, it seems. The Canadians love us. Hey, we love Canada, man. You guys are cool. And everybody else, man, thanks for signing up on Frapper. If you're new to the show, please go onto the Frapper map and put yourself on there.
Oh, Canada. Was there stuff that Link wanted to talk about tonight? I mean, do we have time to fit Link in? So we don't have to hear him bitch about it for the next week?
Canadian national anthem. There was, but, you know, we skipped that, so I'll put it in my web blog and people can see it there. And maybe I'll get a chance to say something next week.
You did file servers this week?
I did.
Boy, that lag really went up the roof right there. Wow. Were they Samba servers? Or, I'm sorry, Samba servers?
It was.
They're not there anymore?
Yeah, it was. Well, it's not running right now, but I had to move it.
Why, they didn't like it?
No, it's one for a home.
Oh, this is a home.
I didn't move it. It's in the way. My parents are coming over this weekend, so I have to move stuff out of the way, and then I have some more drive space. I got another 240 gig of drive space coming in, gig of RAM to put into things, so that should be here sometime next week. So probably next week sometime I'll have even more to talk about for it.
So, so you have to actually move your server so your family can come visit.
You've been in my house, man. It's like full of computers.
Yeah, I know.
I have about 50 projects all splayed out all over the place. And at this point in time, when my parents come up for the weekend, I need to clean the crap up and pack it away where it's a little tougher for me to get at and out of their way so they don't trip over stuff. And then I'll pick it up next week and put my the rest of my drive space in, and I can make some more comments on it then.
I look forward to it because
Alan just cut you off.
Yeah,
man.
Alan's like, I want this bastard out of my house now.
He's home. He doesn't have to drive anywhere.
I know, but he just wants Alan. I mean, he wants Link right out of the house.
Link, get out.
No, we're running late. We're running like a 10-second delay all of a sudden. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Well, maybe all that'll change in a couple weeks. I mean, I hope by the time... And I really hope that when I get down there on that Tuesday that I'm going to have my service set up, because it was unfortunate. Speakeasy told me that I could get my service down there, but then they turned around and told me I can't. So now I have to get stuck with the Cox business cable. And hopefully they'll have it all ready for me to go to just plug my server in down there and we'll be all happy and everything.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Because if not, I got to leave all my stuff up here. And I don't have a connection down there. And that's the week we're talking to Cory Doctorow. And I really would like to be there when we talk with him.
I have to read some of his stuff, man. To be honest, I haven't read any of it. He's written a bunch of sci-fi stuff and short stories, and he's released a couple of books on the Creative Commons. So, okay.
Sorry. I'm getting ready.
But next week we're talking to Marcel Gagne. We haven't talked to him in a while. The last time we talked to him was episode 100, I believe.
That's true.
So.
That was the cluster.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Oh, all right. So I'm going to play us out. With regards to the Frapper map, we're still under 800, people.
We're getting there.
I would like to, hopefully get closer
to break 1,000 at some point.
That would be nice. That would be nice. Right? What do you guys think? No? Okay.
1,000. Sure. We need 1,000. No, we need 1,000.
We need 1,000. All right. I agree with you. That would be nice to see that. We're going to close up tonight with Because I got lazy, and the only song I grabbed right off the bat right now is Jonathan Colton's latest, Pull the String. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you and Alan and Link for testing it out over at Alan's place. And just got a little more kinks to work out, and things should be good. Correct? Yes?
Yeah, we'll get it worked out.
Oh, you know what I did want to bring up before yes. I leave? I want to bring up one question. I have a question. Whatever happened to Floss? Are they still putting out episodes? Because I have not seen an episode in a couple months now.
It's been a month.
Has it been a month?
It's been a little bit over a month. He said on his blog that he's got a couple episodes coming out. I don't think Chris does any of the editing. I think Leah Laporte does all the actual editing. I think Chris just goes out and gets the guests, and you know, he concentrates more on the content, and Leo's the one who actually does all the editing and everything.
Because now they're on that whole new, quote, network.
Right.
Sponsorship. I expect it to be out a lot more timely than it's coming out.
Well, we got a sponsor, damn it. It's not Visa, but we're happy with Open Country.
I'm happy with them. I guess I'm happy with them, too. I don't know. It's great that they're sponsoring us, you know, because they're sponsoring Webmin.
That's a cool project.
Webmin is really important. That's good. All right, I'm going to play us out of here with Pull the String. We'll talk to you next week. 9 days till Linux Fest. 8 days till get together.
Linux Ohio Fest.
Yep,
Ohio
8 days Linux till Fest. The get together. Hopefully, we'll see you there.
Yep, see you in Ohio.
Info on the forums.
Columbus, here we come.
Any last words, you guys, before I play us out? Flag 1, flag 2, flag 3, flag 4, flag 5, flag 6, flag 7.
It's it. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
All right.
Good night, fellas.
Everybody knows you're on to something. They all want in. But they don't know about the bad news you keep underneath your skin. This whole thing's coming down. Just pull the string. Smile pretty, the camera loves you. That's what they say. There's a part of you that wishes they would all just go away. Cause there's one small secret that's bugging you. It would break their hearts if they only knew. There's a world outside, you can feel it coming in. Pull the string, and this whole thing's coming down. Just pull the string.
Anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. It's over.
It's over, Dan.
Yes.
It's over. So what's the deal, man? And when once you're gone, are we going to come here to do the show?
What, before I sell the house?
Before you get your equipment hooked up down there.
I don't know. I'm hoping to, like I said, I'm hoping to take all the stuff with me. But it all depends on whether or not I have the service, which is going to be a pain in the ass because if I don't have the service,
well,
when I do get the service,
you get one pair like this right now.
It's still going to, you know, I'm going to have to come all the way back up here if I haven't sold the house and drag all my stuff back now.
Are these guys listening to us?
No, they don't care.
It doesn't sound like they're just talking over us.
Hey, we're talking over the guests, too.
We're here.
It was interesting because you couldn't hear them when they talked. You know, they didn't talk much, but you can hear them talking to each other over there. And the guest, you know, they would come over to get.
They're passing the dude back and forth.
I plan on like cleaning the room up before. So
phone would go
off. You heard the bong hit going.
Yeah. Hey, good night, everybody. I'm shutting down
over
here.
Daily source code.
Good night.
See you later. Man, they bailed right the hell out.
Oh, Alan's going to get to bed.
Is Link sleeping over?
Nah, he lives a couple miles away. Alan's pretty close to me, too. I figured I'd come over here, man. It's probably going to be the one last time we're in here. So.
I was going to be here all alone.
Next week's going to be the last episode. We're all in here and find the last episode.
Yeah. That's it.
So I guess we're going to be driving Thursday night. I guess that's the plan.
I thought so.
Gotta get some sleep Thursday afternoon, man. Otherwise, you're gonna be freaking dead driving.
Problem is, Thursday's my last day of work.
Oh, shit.
It's my last day at work.
Maybe I should drive, at least the first part.
And next week, it's gonna suck because Thursday, we're gonna drive all the way down there. We're gonna crash for a couple hours, get up, go to this thing. Probably gonna be out really late. Gonna wake up real early the next morning, get over there and do this thing. Gonna go to this party next day. We're gonna be out late that night too. Then we're gonna have to turn around and come home.
You're gonna be a mess, man.
And then
Gonna drive to Virginia.
And then I gotta drive to Virginia.
You're gonna be such a mess.
And then I gotta go to work the day after that. A whole new job. I'm gonna be totally wiped out.
That sucks.
I know. I should have told them the week after. I don't know what I was thinking. They were really hot. They were hot.
Why don't you go on Wednesday to have them take you out for lunch, man? Jesus Christ. No, don't get loaded. You can't get loaded freaking Thursday after work.
Oh, I know. I wasn't planning on getting loaded. You know, I don't do that.
Yeah, right.
No, I don't, honestly.
I remember that one time, like, it was your birthday, and it was, like, snowing out, and you're like, me and Alan are up here, and we're like, where the hell's Dan? It's like 8:25. You show up like literally 8:28. You're all drunk and shit.
Yeah, no, I don't do that anymore. If I'm going to go on a long drive, I'm not going to drink anything. Because that's what sucks, man. Sometimes I go out, like, I'll have to drive down to Virginia, and my parents are like, well, come on, let's go out to eat or something. And, you know, it'd be nice to have a beer, but I know if I have that beer, I'm going to be a wreck, you know, halfway through the drive.
Friday night, I mean, we want to have fun, but we can't get too loaded, man. We got to be in a coherent state on Saturday, man. We're going to be talking to so many people. I'm going to pick up a couple boxes of those freaking
wine.
Of those chasers, you know, you ever seen those?
No, what's a chaser?
You pop one when you first start drinking and then you pop one a couple hours a little while later. It's supposed to like pretty much get rid of your hangover.
Speed. Oy, oy, oy. Well,
maybe it's good that Jeremy doesn't come so Dan doesn't stay out all night and go to titty bars.
I don't know if he's coming. Oh, shit. I was going to make mention of who passed away on Lug Radio.
Lug Radio?
No, not Lug Radio.
Linux questions?
Freaking idiot.
I posted on the IRC.
Yeah. That's really unfortunate.
It's sad, man. It's really sad. Nobody should go before their time, man.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we don't have a choice when our time is up. You know, it's whenever it's up, it's up.
Yeah, he passed away. Yep. David Clayton.
Yeah, got to make the best of it, man.
Calgary, Alberta.
Here.
That's really, really a bummer.
Yeah, it sucks.
And the thoughts go out to his family and friends.
Yep, sad, man.
It is. It is. It's really tragic. And it's going to be a serious loss. All right. I guess we'll close this up.
We're going to wrap it up. Everybody, yeah. Good night. It's been real. We'll see you in a week and a half in Columbus, Ohio. Next week, we're talking to Marcel Gagne. Greg was supposed to be on tonight. He jumped on towards the end. He got tied up. After we talked to Marcel, he's probably going to pop on for like, you know, 15, 20 minutes, whatever. Fill in any blanks that Joe didn't hit while we were talking to him. Which shouldn't be much because Joe was pretty thorough about it. So we'll talk to Greg too for a bit. That's basically it. So if you're going to go, you're in Ohio, you know, or nearby, definitely come. Sounds like it's going to be an awesome show, and we'd like to meet everybody, and we'll see you next week. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Testing.
Ooh, gifts.
Go ahead, do some words now.
Dune. Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Testing, 1, 2. Hello.
All right.
Are you there?
Alan, quit touching my ass.
Hello, God, are you there? It's me, Link.
Yeah.
I'm having my period today. That was on Link's blog. I don't know if you read it. He got his menses.
I don't know. He can't read anything over here because for some reason my router decided to block his ports, his site. I have no clue why.
Go figure, right? Like, everything else in the world I can get on the internet, and except for my freaking site.
Which, of course, has,
you know, my notes and stuff like that.
I'm sorry. I have no freaking clue why. Where the hell's the CD thing on here? So do we sound all right, I take it?
Yeah.
Yes, no, maybe.
Yeah, you sound fine.
Okay, we'll take that as being a yes.
The Linux Link Tech Show is on.
Is on.
Wait, Marietta. Internal chat room now? I know. Jeez, look at that. That just went outrageous.
It's loud, man.
Haven't touched anything over here.
No, not you guys.
It's up my ass.
No, all of a sudden, that went up, and they went down. Let me see. Watch your ears, people. Hold on.
Your link to GNU Linux and the latest technology. 2 hours of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter.
Mm-hmm. That just cracks me up. That cracks me up. I don't know why. That, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It emasculates me. Go ahead and say something, you guys.
All right.
It emasculates you. Yeah. Something should do that, Dan.
Dan is emasculated? Dan has been emasculated.
It's good that you found something that does that for you, man.
You know what? Can we turn Link up a little bit on your end? Can you turn Link up? Not turn him on, but turn him up.
You can.
How's that? Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing. Dan likes to fart. Test.
Can you turn him up a little
more? Is that better?
Turn him up a little more.
A little more. Testing.
That's good.
Testing something words.
Because there's no reason why Alan should be louder than Lynn.
How about me? Is everything all right over here?
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine.
No, we both have the same microphones now. We should be about the same.
Yeah.
Yep.
You're here. Good microphones. Microphone's so good, if I get any closer, I can hear my freaking heartbeat.
Well, you shouldn't be able to hear typing this time.
When I lean in to talk, you get...
Let me ask you a question. This is a really, really important question.
I don't know why that didn't...
Maybe I should wait until we're on the air to ask this question. What is Alan running Skype on?
I don't know. Should you?
Ubuntu.
Oh!
Yeah, it's running on his laptop, as a matter of fact, yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to make
matter
sure.
Matter of fact, it is.
I thought he might be running it under...
I think I was running it on...
The Mac Mini or whatever you have.
No, I'm actually recording under OS 10 right now, but that
the horror
shouldn't have anything to do with what we're doing. So, well, it's the horror, but it's the only machine that
up
actually
yet,
records.
Pat?
Yeah, it's been up.
It's actually I've never been able to get Audacity to run on a desktop. I'm not sure why, but Audacity just does not want to run on the desktop here. It keeps screaming for libraries that are right there, even when I compile it by hand.
Maybe.
So it works on the Mac, so I'll let it go.
Okay. Any info from those guys?
I'm checking it right now. You know, these guys
have. Maybe you should try Arch Linux.
These guys haven't got back to us.
On the desktop?
Yeah.
And leave my beloved Slack?
They never got back to us?
Yeah, I sent them an email, a reminder on Monday. They didn't respond. Tuesday I sent them a second one, and today I sent two, and they still haven't gotten back to me. Now, we talked to Joe previously, Joe Brockmeyer, and the last time...
Do we have their numbers?
No, we don't. He called into the Asterisk room. So maybe we should keep the Asterisk room in case they jump on, but we should be prepared to talk the whole night. I don't know what's the deal. I even announced that they're going to be on the show, so...
I'm sure we can find something around here to talk about.
I'm sure we can.
Yeah, I saw that.
What did you see? You finally found Alan's genitals.
It's not Pat's announcements.
We'll let Link play the slot machine, and we'll just record that.
No.
You didn't find Alan's genitals. There's still a mystery?
Hey, did you guys see that email
no
we got?
Way.
Some guy was
hidden good.
Did you see that email that
hidden well.
That somebody sent us?